captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hey fam, welcome back to New Girl Old Guy for season 5 episode 19 of New Girl Dress. I'm neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Ali Lasher and I'm here with the titular old guy, Keeve Winokur.
You sound so clear. I don't know why. You have a different mic or something?
Nope. You just haven't heard me in a while. And I think the last, or no, I had to cancel for, I got like laryngitis and couldn't talk for a while. You're canceled.
You're canceled.
You are canceled. How's Yosef doing in the wake of Banana's death the last few weeks?
I guess, yeah, disappearance at the very least. How is he doing? You know, he goes to school, plays soccer for 6 hours, probably doesn't learn one word, comes home and plays soccer in the park. He's doing okay.
How are you doing, Keeve?
I'm doing all right. Can I tell you what happened tonight, actually?
Please.
So I, on the way home, Thursday night, my wife always makes dinner, but Thursday nights she usually doesn't. I usually pick something up. So I stopped in a restaurant, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to play a game of chess, because I've been playing a lot of chess and I'll on my phone, so I'm going to eat here by myself. And so I sit, and the restaurant's pretty quiet, and I hear the manager talking about the show Survivor, and Australian Survivor. He's like, oh, that's better, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, this guy is like a big Survivor fan, okay. So when I'm paying my bill, I say, like, hey, I heard you talking about Survivor, like, do you listen to RHAP? But let me take you through my sort of like thought process here, okay? Is like, when I walked in, he sort of recognized me. Like, it seemed like it, but then he was just being polite because there was like not really anybody in the restaurant.
Now, so wait, like, sorry, let's just back that up. When you say he recognized you.
I thought he recognized me. No, not as a podcast.
He gave you a look of recognition as like someone he could know in the community, like town, or you immediately suspected. He must know me from my mild internet success.
No, not from the internet. Just in general, like I'm a Jewish person. He's a Jewish person. Like, you know, maybe we know the same people or something.
Is that still happening in Israel? Like, I feel like that.
Well, like,
no,
we're both Americans. Like, we're both Americans.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So I was like, should I say anything? You know, should I mention it? Because it's like, oh, whatever. But okay, there's nobody here. Like. So it's like, but then I don't like if he knows me, then I'm like openly saying like, hey, by the way, like you might know who I am or whatever.
Yeah. Knowing you, I know that you did not ask if he'd heard of RHAP in hopes that it would lead to.
No.
And I'm a reoccurring member. Like, I know that it's not as thirsty as it appears.
I was just curious. So like I heard him say that because like if someone.
Now, would never do that just because I'd be too afraid he'd think that. But
yeah,
I know
well,
you
I was
didn't
afraid.
Mean it like that.
So if he just said Survivor, I would have left it alone. But once he's talking about like, oh, Australian Survivor is better, like this is like a hardcore internet Survivor fan. You know?
I don't think you could watch Australian Survivor and not have heard of Shannon Gus at least. That's
right,
my impression.
For sure, for sure. Honest. So, so I make the decision. I walk over and I say, "Hey, can I pay my check? By the way, I heard you talking about Survivor." I'm a big Survivor fan, which isn't even really true anymore, but whatever. Like,
it's
you know,
absolute lie, but yeah.
I've seen every season, like, to the most people in the world. That's, like, a huge fan. And he's like, yeah. So I said, oh, do you listen to RHAP? And he says, yes. And I say, oh, cool, I'm friends with Rob.
Oh.
No, that's fine. I think that's
no,
fine.
No, that's bad. That's bad.
That's bad?
That's bad. Very bad.
I think it's being humble because I could have been like, oh,
I'm
I have a show
with
Rob.
With Rob. I
think
that's
an
be
insane
like, oh, cool.
thing to say.
Oh, cool. Me too. You had to go up. You're not a listener. You're friends with the big guy.
I'm friends with the big guy.
I once sent him fan mail, which led to a podcast, which led to, I mean, friends is an interesting word, but.
Mm-hmm.
I'm friends with
Rob.
Oof. Oof. And I'm getting this exclusive on NGOG. You're not mentioning this on Rap Next Door.
I was like, oh, you know, it's a sign. I'm speaking to Allie right before.
Honestly, you've got to tell this story on Renap.
I'm gonna have to say it again
to Rap. Yeah, no one's listening to this. You gotta say it.
Okay, I'll say it. I'll tell him again. So, anyway, postscript. So then he's like, oh, cool. And I say my name does not appear to ring a bell. He introduced himself like my name is, you know, Yonison Schlossel or whatever his name was. Like, that would be an anti-Semitism if someone else said it. I can say that. And I said, you know, my name did not appear to mean anything. Fine. Of course. I'm not known if you're just a Survivor fan. And then he says, yeah, the reason I was talking about it is because there is a Survivor contestant outside. So I was telling the waitress that, like, she has to watch the show because it's a great show, and this person was on it. So then, well, I was going to say who they are, but the person hasn't been tweeting or posting about it, so I guess I won't say their name on the podcast.
You mean the person hasn't been posting that they're in Israel?
They haven't been posting that they're in Israel, yeah. But maybe I'm not a big Survivor fan because I had to Google who the person was. I searched on my phone next to him, and I was like, "Oh, I didn't like that season, and he was not like an especially memorable character." And then I said a fact about this person, which would dox him, which was the one thing I remembered. And the guy seemed, I guess, like the guy who said he had just watched a season, so he's like clearly a hardcore fan if he's rewatching old unmemorable seasons. Like last week, didn't seem to know what I was talking about. But anyway, I can't, you know, that was my story for
this is too blind an item now. Like, obviously you're not going to say who it is, but now I'm curious. Like, you're like, there was a guy who was on Survivor who was there. That's fine. But there's a fact that I can't tell you that then this guy didn't even know.
No, I just remembered, like, there's one thing. Let's say it was Brenda Lowe from Survivor. It's like something about, like, oh, yeah, she's the one who made Dawn take out her teeth. You know what I mean? So it's just, like, the one thing I remembered about the guy.
All right. Never a dull moment for you, Kiev.
Never a dull moment. There's many I mean, I have many dull moments. I spend, like, so much time in commute, transit, and there's lots
of
dull
moments.
How was the meal? It was actually very good. I was surprised. I regretted it after because I forgot I had, like, something waiting for me at home. So it was like a waste of money. But other than that, it was good.
How was Mara's birthday? Happy belated birthday to Mara.
It was good. Oh, I'll tell you another story.
Please.
So this is like really, really me becoming my parents. It was Mara's birthday, and I couldn't get my whole crew together. Ella's, you know, in dorms and school and... So it took like a week till after her birthday. We took her out for her birthday to like a steakhouse she really likes. She's a big steak person, and I kind of like didn't really have a plan for her birthday. So luckily, like Ella sort of saved me. But so we go out last night, and it's my crew, and her mom and her stepdad, and then her brother and his wife. So that's 11 people. And for the first time in my 40 years on Earth, I'm at a very nice restaurant, and I'm paying for everybody, you know? Like,
wow,
for my crew, you know, I'll go to, I'll pay, but I'm not taking, like, Yosef and Shai usually to a nice steakhouse, but here it's, like, her birthday. And a lot of people would not go out with their kids on their birthday, but, like, she really likes her kids, which is, like, a little bit weird, but... Like, she would want to be with the, you know, I mean, like, that would be, like, her, in her crew, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But a lot of moms would not feel that way.
I don't know. Sure. No judgment.
But, so, anyway, so we're taking, so 11 people, and, like, now I, like, totally understood my dad, like, at a restaurant with us, and, you know, like, it's fun. My dad in general, he's not cheap at all, but I feel like if we go out like with a ton of people, he'll like not get a big thing, or he'll just like eat, you know, everyone else's like leftovers, because I ordered the cheapest thing on the menu.
That's FHB.
What's that?
Family hold back. which is apparently what my parents used to say if we're hosting something and something was like, oh, shoot, we're a little light on chicken. We got to do FHB. Like, you guys don't eat it.
I like it. Yeah. No, I'm familiar with the concept, but not that term. I like
the
term.
Yeah, a family hold back. So you did a dad hold back.
I did a dad hold back. Shout out to Adira, who only ordered a burger, not a steak. But basically, like, I pulled a couple moves. Like, I ordered the apps, like, we got there first, like, for everybody. So this way, you know, it wasn't, like, every single person ordering an appetizer. Like, I just ordered a bunch. Well, some of the cheaper ones, but things that I knew people would like. And it was, like, the
perfect
amount.
Here's a hot take. Cheap appetizers are always the best appetizers.
Yeah, for sure.
Best things on the menu are cheap.
Yeah, because the expensive appetizers are, like, fake knockoff mains. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree.
So... I pull that off, and then everyone orders, like, the big steaks, and I was like, oh, boy. This is going to be really expensive. And then I'm not
was
a drinker.
Was Shai slamming the au jus?
This is what Shai was doing. He had a bunch of glasses of water, and every piece of food around him went into the water. So a bunch of French fries, the lettuce and tomato from Noam's hamburger, and then he would just drink from those cups. He would make, like, disgusting concoctions, and then he would just drink the whole thing.
Look, at least he's not wasting it, right? Because if he's playing with the food and it's wasted, that gets you a stern talking to. But if he's doing an unorthodox way of enjoying the food and he's eating it, and it's the scraps, discarded scraps from your other son.
Yeah. It looked kind of gross, and I would, like, try and stop, and the mayor was like, no, he's, like, behaving. And I realized, like, oh, it's, like... Because the alternative was, like, the one or two times he got up and, like, you know, would try and steal a steak knife from someone else's table because he's, like, the devil. And, like, look for a socket to stick his fingers in. So it wasn't so bad that he was making disgusting concoctions. So this is, like, really me being like that. So then, like, you know, everyone, Mary's getting cocktail. Okay, she's a birthday girl. But then other people are getting cocktails. And they're like, get wine. And I was like, whose side are you on here? What is going on? Everyone's ordering more wine. And then finally dessert. So then I'm like, all right, this is enough already. This is getting expensive. So I say to Ella, like, go privately. Tell the guy to bring out, you know, like.
You need that free birthday dessert to come with.
Yeah, the chocolate cake. And of course, Ella gets two. Because I think her plan was, well, if I get two, nobody will order more. And then, you know, we sing happy birthday to her, blah, blah, blah. And then a guy brings out the dessert menu, and they order, like, three or four more desserts. Now, I will say, they messed up the cook of a few of the steaks and had to, like, bring them back or whatever. I don't know. I think they, like, bring them back, fake it, and bring them back at a second. You know, hey, this isn't medium. Now it's medium rare the second time.
That's hard to fake.
I don't know what they did. And again, I wasn't having the steak, so... you know, I got the worst thing on the menu.
What'd you get, like a wedge salad?
No, not a wedge salad. It was like the cheapest. Hold on, I'll look it up.
What's that? Let me guess. What's the cheapest thing at a steakhouse? Did you get like a mushroom risotto?
No. It was meat. It was like a little. It was more like.
You got like tips, steak tips?
No, I didn't get steak tips. It was more like Israeli. It was here. Hold on. Where's the menu?
You stumped me on this.
It was like a Lebanese meat stuffed pita, a rice.
Okay, definitely wasn't guessable. You're right.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like it was between that and the lamb sinia, which
I
don't know.
You basically got gyro at a steakhouse.
Basically, but I was thrilled, and I didn't even like it, and I was thrilled because like it was cheaper, you know.
I mean, how much was that? That should be like max between $15 and $18.
No, it was more. It was probably low 20s.
But see, I feel like if I'm going to get ripped off or I'm going to have to pay a lot anyway.
Yeah.
I'd rather not pay $25 for a $15 dish. I'd rather pay $35 for a $30 dish.
I know, but I had to like keep the price down and I couldn't like ask my brother-in-law like to not order. You know what I mean? So it's like someone has to take one for the team and it was going to be UK, you know, that night.
You're extremely... careful with money.
What?
Forget it.
I'm cheap? You think I'm cheap?
See?
How could you say that to me? I can't believe this. How could you say that to me?
You ain't.
All right. that was, I assume, your only gift for Mara.
Well,
a begrudging family dinner that you can't believe she wanted her kids at for her 40th birthday.
No, I mean, I can't believe I didn't try and sell her not having the kids.
Some mothers don't want to bring their kids out.
I would say most mothers would want to go out without their kids in some, you know, part of their birthday.
No, without their husbands. But if you're going to be there, then the kids need to be there, too.
Yeah. I mean, I was only invited because I was paying, I think. And now, in fairness, that Mary didn't know the situation. She didn't even know where we were going. No one told her it was another scavenger hunt. And then
and then
Ella just drove her to the restaurant. But I this is like really now I'm officially my dad though.
I've been eating mini marshmallows this whole time. How's that doing on the audio?
I don't think it's that bad. I think in terms of our food rankings, marshmallows on the podcast is not one of the grosser foods to eat on the podcast.
I think the minis also help because if I put like a jumbo,
it would be there too long.
Yeah.
It would be like a 45-second chew.
All right.
There's no way around that.
I have a few things I want to say, but, like, you know, we're on a little bit of a Renap-induced time crunch. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've waited on these topics for a long time. I'll just tell you one. Well, it's funny because I told you I went to dinner with my nephew. Yada, yada, yada. I told a boring story about my nephew eating butter. Speaking of butter, I made butter. I made my own butter since the last time we
did. Wow. Are you like on a farm?
Yada, yada, yada. Told a boring story about me making butter. I did also want to report that I'm rewatching The Mindy Project for the first time. But there's a steep cliff in The Mindy Project. You haven't watched it, have you?
No.
The first season of The Mindy Project is perfect television. Like, it's absolutely incredible. Like, I don't know if you'll connect with it as much, but, like, to be, like, a 30-something woman in New York, like, it's unbelievable. And then, although Ian Rosenblum, a friend of the pod, recommended it to me, so it's not, like, just for the girlies.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect television. Season 2, still good, not as good. Season 3, it takes, like, a turn. I don't know what happened. But it becomes almost unwatchable. Like, halfway through season 3, I was like, why am I watching this? Did I even get through this the first time? Obviously, I stayed with it.
How many seasons
season
are there?
Season 5, it boomerangs. There's 6 seasons. It boomerangs towards the end of season 4 into season 5. So I don't know what that is, but that's just information. So if you were to do season 3, episode 7 on Renap, you'd be hitting it at its valley.
Oh, wow.
All right. None of this is interesting. Your stories are great. Let's get to the digest.
Well, I just want to say something that's driving me insane. So, like, we haven't podcasted in a few weeks, and I had a story I wanted to tell you, but I was like, you know what? I'll save it for the podcast, but I don't usually do, but for some reason I wanted to save it.
And you were like, I've got to tell you what I'm doing tomorrow, like what I'm doing Saturday. Then we didn't end up podcasting that day. And so then presumably whatever you did on Saturday happened. Oh, it was right before the traders were napped because I made the traders on RHAP because I made a joke like, oh, are you making an unscheduled appearance on that? And you were like, no. And then we never talked about it since.
So something I was doing on Saturday. Here's what's driving me insane. I have no recollection now of what it was.
But it's, you, like, remember the teaser.
But now that you say that it was something I did on Saturday, it's like on the tip of my tongue. But I don't know what it was.
Any kids around who might have a better handle on your schedule?
No, there's nobody in here. I'll ask Ella after, but it might be, you know, I don't know. I don't think anyone cares, but it's a spoiler for next time because it was
cared.
A funny story. Yeah, it's one of these things that the second we hang up, I'll probably remember, but I had it ready to go for like a few weeks and now I totally forget. Anyway.
Should we trick it? Should we hang up right now and I'll call you back?
I'll just like meditate for 5 minutes and it'll like come out of my mouth.
All right. Well, while you're thinking that on that, we have to talk about season 5, episode 19, Dress. Originally aired May 3rd, 2016. Interestingly, it took me, you know, however long New Girl's been on Hulu. I don't know if it was the case for Netflix. But fantastic. The original air dates are just included on Hulu, so I don't even have to go to IMDb. It's fab. I think this is a really good episode, not to lead the witness here. And unfortunately, we've used half of our time talking about me making butter. So let's get right to the digest. We decided not to do 2 episodes because, as producer Kelly texted me, and I agree with, while they aired the same date, episodes 19 and 20, they're not really connected or in the same way that, you know, the last 2 episodes were. So we're just going to dedicate this episode to Dress.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the digest.
What about the last two episodes, though? Are those connected?
Maybe, what do you mean the last two episodes?
Of the season. Is that a double or a single?
Well, we're not even there yet.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just curious if that's going to be...
All right, you do the digest. I'll look it up.
Okay, a few things going on. We got wedding prep is in full bloom. There's a Jess is making or finishing up Cece's dress. Meanwhile, with the titular dress. Meanwhile, Schmidt is wedding planning, gets him in a lot of trouble at work. Another work story, Winston is now in a relationship with his police partner, Allie? I'm blanking on the name now.
Yeah, remember the
Allie?
Allison.
Allison.
It's not Allison. Yeah, it's Allie.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Yeah, I think officially we're going to do next week or whenever we do it, hopefully next week, we'll do season 5, episode 20, and then we will do, you know, depending on availability, we'll do episodes 21 and 22 together.
Okay, that sounds good.
I think
good.
That's fine. All right, Producer Kelly says, is this the best use of all the cast in their A, B, and C plots ever? I think so. Jess and Schmidt shine, that's tough to say. Jess and Schmidt shine in the A plot, re-wedding planning. Winston and Allie in their first B plot as a couple are great. Cece and Nick even have a real storyline in the C plot. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought... I don't even know what's like the A here and what's the B and what's the C. It's sort of a mishmash to me.
Well, Pawnee Public Radio taught me that the name usually is the best hint at what's the A plot.
Okay. R.A.P. Pawnee Public Radio. So the name is Dress. I will say that's true, but also like Schmidt losing his job is a big one, and honestly, the Winston one's a big one. They're almost tied here. It's pretty
close.
Well,
I think Schmidt's stuff is involved in the dress. That's the dress. So I think it's really Nick and Reagan in probably the C, and then Allie and Winston in the B.
Yeah, I think that ultimately that's correct, I think, yeah.
Let's take it story by story and see if you have a change of heart at the end. But let's start with Dress. And, you know, we're revisiting the storyline, and I'm glad they gave you a little flashback because we had to refresh Kiva's memory last time we were here. That Cece got drunk with Winston and bought a hideous dress. Jess has been tasked with, you know, the difficult task of making it a dress that Cece will actually want to wear on her wedding night day. And we find out that Jess has procrastinated and lied and said, yep, I will have it to you by tomorrow night, but she can't do anything with it. You're not a procrastinator, I feel like, Keeve.
I feel like I really used to be. Am I a procrastinator? Oh, Mara, am I a procrastinator?
Mara, what did he do on Saturday?
Am I procrastinating?
Two Saturdays ago, last Saturday.
Actually, I got kind of a no from Mara.
No, there's
things I don't like. There's things I don't do. But that's for Mara, that's if she's saying that, I'm good.
Ask Mara what you did during Traders RHAP.
Was that two Saturdays ago?
I think it was last Saturday.
What did I do last Saturday night? Do you remember? And then what happened after? Did we go somewhere? You left me. What about two weeks ago? Did I go somewhere? Saturday night. I didn't go anywhere. I rarely leave the house in general.
Did he do anything from the house?
I don't remember.
We need Dr. Amanda to come do an Unsolved Mysteries.
The birthday party for who? Oh, okay. Oh, that was like 3 weeks ago, I think. That's the last time I left the house. I go to work every day.
That was before her birthday. It was before her birthday. Whatever the Saturday before her birthday was.
It's not coming to me right now.
It's not coming to Mara. That's fascinating.
Anyway, I think we're...
Okay,
we're
okay, no, wait. The dates are off, maybe.
Okay.
January 6th, mm-hmm. I think, is when we talked about this. January 8th, I'm going through our conversation. Then you said I have Mara's 40th. So, I don't know. Somewhere between January 8th and January 18th.
Okay. It'll come to me.
This is going to really bother me. But yeah, I agree. I mean, you don't seem like a procrastinator to me. Obviously, I don't interact with you in ways that would lead to procrastination.
At work, I like to get everything out of the way immediately. Like, I don't, you know, I'm inbox zero. Like, I don't really like to push things.
Then how could you even say you're you're a procrastinator who, like, doesn't know what true procrastination is. You're not a procrastinator.
No, I don't think I am. I really like to, like, yeah, I don't like to have things on my plate. I try and, like, if I wake up in the night and I think of something, like, I will send an email just so, like, I don't have to wait for the morning.
Wow. Incredible work. I mean, I don't have to tell this audience. Remember when I procrastinated posting the episode for, like, 2 weeks?
Well, sometimes it's forgetting. Sometimes it might not even be forgetting.
It's never forgetting. I sit and wallow in the anxiety of tasks that aren't done yet. I don't forget them. And then I get them done, and I'm like, ugh, why did I procrastinate that? Such a problem. Anyway, I always said my first all-nighter was in sixth grade because I procrastinated a poster on the Challenger explosion for science class.
And you
I was
up
just
all
laughing
night,
with
it?
My mom about this. I pulled an all-nighter in sixth grade. My mom came to the top of the stairs at like 4 a.m. and was like, you get up here. I don't care if it's finished. And I was like, I'm not done. Because so I had to make a model magic rocket to attach to this poster. It was incredible.
The Challenger is the one that exploded?
Huh?
That's the one that exploded?
I believe so.
And you were making like a fake one? Did your fake one explode?
No, I made, we had to make a poster, but I made like a 3D, but it was flat so it could go across the poster, rocket out of model magic clay that would like air dry clay. And then I took a picture of the crew like and pasted it on to the rocket. I mean, they should honestly be using this as like a mock-up of a memorial they should make. It was really something to see. And it took me all night. So probably 5 hours of just staring at the wall and then 2 hours of doing the work.
I would have to, like, if I had to do a project with my hands, I had to have my mom do it when I was younger. Like dioramas or posters. Like, I just had, because I have so little artistic abilities. That I physically couldn't do these things. They would be useless.
I blew past my mom in that category, you know, in like Halloween, you know, making my own Halloween costumes. Mm-hmm. I think starting in like third grade. And then also like baking for like the cupcakes that you used to be able to bring to school on your birthday. Like I kicked my mom off that project almost immediately.
Yeah, or the other thing I did, and I honestly, it's funny, I did this in elementary school, and I did this in college, is my childhood friend Andrew, I would do projects with him, if you were able to do a project with somebody, and then he would do 100% of the work. So, like, we had to make, like some multimedia thing, and he was able to, like, edit in, like, fifth grade.
Media did they have back then? Multimedia? That's
I don't
like,
know.
What,
it was
pen
like
and
we
paper?
Made,
like,
we made a few. We made one. I remember it was, like...
I don't think PowerPoint was invented when
it was, like, a trailer, or, like, a fake trailer to a history thing, and the background music was the theme of ER. And then... And then we made a newscast... We had a report, and we chose Rosa Parks, and we had a newscast about Rosa Parks. Like, he made a video.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Well, I wonder if Andrew still has it, because we didn't edit, and at one point, we're sitting behind the desk, and the big Rosa Parks poster fell on my head during the newscast, and we left it in for, like, because we didn't know how to edit video. Maybe Andrew did, honestly. He was like... at his bar mitzvah, the rabbi said he was an 83-year-old man in a 13-year-old's body, which would make him now like 110 or something, but which he is. But the, I'll ask Andrew if he still has the Rosa Parks thing. He might. It's not impossible that he has it, although it might be on VHS.
Kelly points out that there were a lot of good lines in this episode. It's just like going through those as we go through. I do like that Jess makes the point that this is, like, the first time she's ever procrastinated because, like, unlike me, it's definitely not in her character, I think, to procrastinate this. So I'm glad that they just, like, called it out instead of just passing it on. And I love Schmidt's button of, like, what a fun, low-stakes time to try new things.
Yeah. I honestly, by the way, there was, like, I think there I wrote down more lines from this episode than I have in like a year of doing this podcast.
Yeah, this was a great episode.
I agree.
Shout him out.
One great line is that when they're smooching in the supply room or the evidence room in the police station, and they get caught, and it's a very funny scene because like people have been there before. Like, did that person not necessarily smooching, but just in general, like, did we get caught? You know, like. And like Winston's convinced that they didn't get caught, and she realized they did. But it's funny when they're kissing, their boss, the head sergeant man, opens the door, and they're like, and they just grab something on the from the shelf to pretend
a
like
severed a hand,
and
the
it's
evidence.
A severed hand. He's like, ah, that's the hand we were looking for. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, no, I like that too.
And then he calls them into. Then they admit, you know, for HR reasons, admit their relationship, and then all of a sudden the sergeant, who I don't think we've met before, is like a creep, and he's like, yeah, Allie, I don't blame you, Winston's hot as hell.
Yeah, he's into it. Yeah, no, that finally we're getting Winston, and it's goofy. It's like still true to the Winston goofiness, but it's like actually moving the plot, and we're like seeing more of his office life. So, yeah, no, I thought that was both funny and useful for Winston. The other line I loved in this, in the dress storyline, which I feel like I could say to you, and you could probably say to me in a lot of my Michigas, is when Jess is like, you know, I can't get work done here. Cece's always coming in. Like, I can't go on my ideal walks. She was just deadpan. How did you become such an important part of my life? Like,
yeah.
Disgust and shame.
Pretty funny.
So that leads to us, speaking of getting more insight into office life, Schmidt's got a solo men's room in his office, which has become his wedding workshop, and he has paid off the only other man on the floor, Brian, $8 to do his business across the street. Jess says that seems high, which cracked me up. What is the going rate for that kind of service, Akiva? I feel like you're the man to ask about that. How much would it cost you to every time you had to go to the bathroom at work, agree to go across the street?
Across the street?
Assuming that there's like a usable public bathroom. Like, let's just say the only chore is the act of like exiting the building and going across the street. You wouldn't have issue like using the bathroom there.
I feel like I'd be doing the paying, not getting paid.
Yes, you would be, but I would. That's what's the rate.
Yeah. So basically it's you get your own bathroom at work, essentially.
Right.
I mean, that's honestly like it's hard to. I would take a lower salary probably.
I think, but like, put yourself in the other person's shoes. Is there an amount that you could be paid off to be?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there is an amount, but it would be a lot.
What's
of money,
the though. Amount? This is yes, and Akiva, you're stonewalling me here.
They used to call me Stonewall Wieneker. I don't know, a few hundred dollars a month.
Okay. So $8 a day, not going to cut it.
Probably not going to cut it.
I mean, let's just say I probably wouldn't go to the bathroom more than once a day then.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would just like, okay, I'm just like, how often do I use the bathroom? You know, it's like, all right.
I could probably get to a comfortable place where I'm going in the morning on my way to work and then on my way out. And then I would take the $10 a day.
$10 a day? I don't know. Doesn't add up.
All right.
That wouldn't even cover my lunch anymore.
Have I told you I've gotten into jewelry TikTok in New York, like the jewelers on like the Diamond District in like 46th Street, 46th
no.
Street?
No.
So there's this guy, Vukum, who shockingly is not Jewish. Like I thought mm-hmm. he was Jewish because every time they make a deal, they're always like, do we have Mazal? Mazal? That's what they say to like make the deal. And a lot of the people he deals with are Jewish, but then I got really deep into it. I looked at his Instagram and he, you know, wears a cross, whatever. So it's this guy who flips Rolex watches and he's like a young guy. He's like 23 years old and he makes TikToks and he like goes to one shop and he buys a watch for, you know, 4,200 and he flips it for like 46 at the shop next door and he makes like $400 or $300, whatever. And it's fascinating. Like I'm so deep into New York jeweler TikTok. And now I forget what you said that made me want to. Oh, and what they were constantly saying is like, I can't even get lunch for that. I got to make more than $100. I can't even get lunch for that. Because they're all talking about like kosher lunches. That won't even get you a kosher lunch here.
It's true.
Cracks me up. I was on a podcast yesterday with Taryn and Gia and Omer and Mike Bloom drafting Survivor Arrivals, which actually was very, very fun. And in one of the negotiations, Taryn said something that this guy, Vukum, always says, but I obviously wasn't going to explain it then. But he was like, I know what I have. I know what I have. And that's what Vukum always says when he gets the, like, watch. He's like, someone will offer him a fair price, and he'll just go, I know what I have. I know what I have. And the guy goes up. It's, like, wild.
Did you – I said I didn't listen to that podcast, but would you say you had a good auction strategy?
I went in with no strategy, except I knew, like – what I did was I color-coded, like, these three pairs I definitely want and would pay, like, money for. Mm-hmm. This is, like, a second tier, like, when they come up, you want them. See,
did you know who you were bidding on, or you could bid on anybody?
You could, like, you didn't know who Mike Block, that's my friend's name is Mike Block, Mike Bloom, and I have texted them both texts for each other all the time. I didn't know what Mike Bloom was going to put on the board, but I did, like, make a list of what I thought would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you're not bidding on any covered items as long as the majority of your yellows and your greens are still on the, in play, because like the odds that one of your top is going to be under isn't going to like blow up your whole board, because you're not going to get them all anyway. And like I didn't want any covered items, and I didn't bid more than $100 on anyone that wasn't in my yellow or green. And I ended up getting two of my greens for like $20 and $50 respectively at the end. I ended up having like a ton of money at the end and just like picked up like all of these people I'd been waiting for.
That's a good strategy.
Worked out. Plus, apparently, shocking to no one, what I value in a Survivor rival is not the same as the esteemed
Survivor experts
I was with.
Yeah, this is very subjective. So it's a trickier thing. It's like, when you do a fantasy football auction, you're all basically arguing over the same people. You know what I mean? So,
well, we were all arguing over the same people because there were only 15. It wasn't like we – I actually thought how I thought it should have worked was that we could all come with our own draft board and go around the horn and draft. And then in theory, like, I could have gotten everyone I wanted if nobody wanted them. But I think how Mike's done it makes sense after participating that, like,
right.
These are the 18 pairs that are going to be up regardless. So even if you don't want them, like, you've got – what, are you going to have a list of no one?
Yeah, no.
So it somehow becomes, like, a semi-closed universe. It's not just, like, you could come up with anything. Okay. So Schmidt outs himself to his boss, gets exposed, and, you know, Kim's got some great lines. Like, oh, I'm imagining – I mean, it's insane when she says, imagining what it would be like to fire you. It's the same feeling I had when I unplugged my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Neve says, question for Allie, in how many states could Kim retain her job while still retaining a jar for her employees' balls? Yeah, I mean, Kim, definitely hostile work environment, for sure.
Yeah, HR would be, you know, on her. And she's the CEO? Like, what's her position?
I don't know, but PK does call out some issues here. She says, not to be a logic cop, but remember when Schmidt and Kim hook up in season one? Was she married with children then, or are these stepchildren?
Oh, good question. It's a mother-in-law that she has pulled the plug on.
But like then later, the way that Jess is able to regain Schmidt's employment is by getting her kids into Banyan Canyon. So she's got kids.
It's interesting.
Mother-in-law and kids.
And little kids, right? Banyan Canyon's what, a kindergarten?
No, I think it's...
Elementary school?
I mean, they're on leashes.
Her kid's a biter?
Up, so.
Her kid's a biter in elementary school? If your kid's biting in elementary school, that's, they, you know, that's rough. I don't know.
Well, I think that's the issue.
That is an issue. Like, your kids go to nursery school, they're getting bit, you know? But first grade,
no, I don't
kids
know.
Getting bit, you're calling the principal.
There's another funny bit that made me – I've been listening to a lot of Seinfeld post-show recaps since we last spoke. And it's funny, like, because you guys get all up in arms in the episode where they're at the movie theater and each character gets described to, like, a third party. Like, I'm looking for – they call Elaine a face like a frying pan. And you guys were like, that's so offensive. That's so offensive. Like, who, which actor would have been the most mad? Schmidt calls Jess, have you seen a girl around? Looks like a drawing of a best friend that an 8-year-old would make. First of all, incredible line. Perfect
that's
description.
A good joke, yeah.
But I take issue with face like a frying pan. Just as like, you have a flat face. You don't have some like big bulging nose or like big like face like a frying pan. Like some ridgy,
not
like,
a compliment
forehead or something. But it's not like offensive. Like a horse face doofus is definitely worse.
Yeah, horse face doofus is worse. I agree.
Face like a frying pan is kind of meaningless. Like, who doesn't have like a flattish face? Like,
I guess.
All right. I also, again, Kim has a great line when Jess is pretending to be an intern before, you know, to try to save Schmidt's job. It looks like you make your own jewelry. I'm telling you right now, I don't want to hear about it. but okay, so, you know, Schmidt gets fired and Jess ends up getting his job back, but it's a different job. Are we going to see, like, more of that explained later?
I don't about what the different job is, right?
We don't get the payoff, right? He just says
it's weird. That's very unsitcom. Like, I'm gonna say we find out next week. Yes.
Yeah, it is strange, but the resolution to the dress. Let's talk about this because basically she gives up. She's at the 11th hour. She takes it off the mannequin, hopeless, and in taking it off, then she realizes that if she turns the dress inside out, it's absolutely perfect. Producer Kelly says, on a scale of 1 to 8, how annoyed are you by Jess allegedly fixing the dress by turning it inside out to reveal a plain surface and subjecting Cece to being cut up by mirrors on the inside of her dress?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hokey, potentially, that just like, oh, the solution was there. It would never look like that. Like, the lining of the inside of a gown like that would never look like a beautiful satin dress. However, I'm glad. I would prefer this outcome to Jess works all night with the help of her, like, bird and mice friends, like Cinderella, and is able to, like, make a gorgeous designer dress. Like, Jess definitely seems like someone who could, like, sew clothes or crochet, but, like, she can't fix that dress. So I'd rather inside out be a miracle than look Jess is suddenly a fashion designer.
Why is Jess making this dress?
Because it's hideous, and it was non-refundable. Okay, let's get like to the next one.
I don't know. Like, I never really understood why, but I was willing to go with it.
So they bought the dress drunk when Winston was trying to take on like bridesman duties, and then they tried to go back and return it, and they like the person at the store was like, absolutely not, and Winston tried to like threaten her as a cop, like that was just kind of like bitty, and then they didn't know what to do. So she brought it to Jess while Jess was in sequester. So it was like the shadow of Jess. And she was like, I don't know what to do. Like, look at this hideous dress. And Jess held up a sign that was like, I can fix it. And that's what you missed on Glee.
Previously on this podcast.
So let's talk about Nick really quick before we wrap up with Allie and Winston. Nick wants to ask Reagan to the wedding. I didn't expect Reagan, you know, if I'm a new viewer, I didn't expect Reagan to be back so soon in the mix.
It's Reagan, yeah, I didn't think she would. Maybe, like, at the wedding or something. But, again, we don't see her or even hear her, right?
No, but I like that she's involved. Like, I like that they just didn't have her leave, and now Nick never thinks about her again. Like,
right.
The lingering nature of Reagan makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does linger.
Producer Kelly says, how would you respond to Nick texting you, how's your spring looking? That was so classic. Like, Nick trying to text her to segue into a wedding ask. So how's your spring look? I like that.
Supposedly there's these, like, AI things now that, like, will answer, like, dating app questions like that for you.
Oh, God.
So.
Do you think that Reagan should have been invited to the wedding in her own right? She lived with them for a period of time, and she has the pre-existing friendship with Cece.
Yes, I think she probably should have been on the list for Cece's list, at least. Yes.
She's the kind of friend where if a year goes by, she's like, the wedding's a year
right
after she moves out, she's not getting invited. But because they're like, the peak of their friendship was so close to the wedding, I feel like she gets added to the list.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of people like that because I was, you know, in college. So, like, a year or two later, like, If I saw like my wedding picture now, I like wouldn't remember a couple people from there, you know?
Like, yeah, no, 100%. That makes complete sense. I mean, there are weddings I've gone to in the last 10 years that I certainly wouldn't be invited to now.
Yeah, I there was a guy who came to Florida to my wedding. And then, like, I remember, like, maybe after college, you know, maybe not well, long after college, maybe like 5-6 years later, I saw him on the street. And I, like, we barely even did the nod. Like, not only did we not, like, stop and say hi, it was, like, barely even did, like, the nod and keep walking.
Like, you got more recognition from the Israeli-American restaurant owner tonight, who is a Survivor fan.
Yeah, I got a much better, like, I was like, oh, this guy's my friend, apparently. He was like, but I think he was just happy to see a customer.
So this whole bit is just like, you know, Nick spending money on burner phones, ultimately texts her, hey, Reagan, it's Nick Miller. We lived in the loft together. We connected. But he ends up just going to ask her to the wedding. And I like the little bit of like, you know, the stinger at the end. You're an idiot. I know you've been texting me from these numbers. I'd love to come. But sadly, I can't. I have to work. I miss you.
Yeah, it's weird.
Now, that's not going nowhere, I feel like, with the I miss you at the end.
I know. That's a little weird, though. It's like we're not seeing her. They didn't have to pay Megan Fox for this episode. But we will definitely see her in the next few eps, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Maybe even the next ep, because it was that night.
And then Allie and Winston, we talked about, you know, we kind of jump ahead in that they're together. Like, we left them and sort of she still technically was with her ex-boyfriend. So I guess the yada yada, that part. They probably could have gotten another episode of, like, weirdness before they make the leap to their, like, you know, dorky love, the little song he sings. But it's fine.
Yeah, the songs were a little weird for me. It didn't totally work.
I like the bit, though, of them doing weird stuff and then Cece's been there the whole time and Allie's like, I didn't know she was there. And he's like, I did. He's so weird. But this is, like, manageable weirdness to me. Like, I enjoyed,
yes,
you know, Winston's gaga-ness.
Yeah, I agree. Manageable weirdness. That's what we should strive for.
And then Daniels is the guy who walks in on him, who's, like, this golden boy, nicest guy at work, and then now he's blackmailing them for $5,000 because he's nice, but he's got a huge gambling problem. What's the most money you'd put on a game of I Spy, Keeve?
I Spy?
Yeah, that's he lose. He's down 60 large on a game of I Spy.
I mean, I'm bad at I Spy, so I'm probably gonna lose. So like, the answer should be very little.
Oh yeah, we learned that you're voice blind in addition to being face blind.
Yeah,
I sent
I don't know
you
how to recognize anybody. Maybe that guy's my best friend, the restaurant manager, and I just he's like he was horrified. Like I said, Akiva Wienerker, and he was probably like, yeah, I know, we're really good friends. Speak all the time.
I'm going to play a voice memo that I sent you to tell you that I couldn't do NGOG because of my voice. And you said I sound exactly the same. Now, I do think
I
didn't sound as bad
fine
in the recording, but here we go.
I'm probably going to be homesick again tomorrow, but so I have availability to do the podcast. The downside is that this is what I sound like.
It's like, in theory,
all right,
I'm available.
No, that is bad. No, in hindsight.
Was, you were like, you sound the same.
Like, it was like if Patty or Selma from The Simpsons had a cold.
I sent one to Jacob Jones, and he was like, oh, my God, I think my phone's infected now.
No, you sound like I feel like my phone is now infected with whatever the fuck you have because the sound that just came out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Stream his song. What's his song called?
Oh, yeah, Caught Up in You.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even have
by
to look
Air
it up. Because it's a banger.
Or air.
Yeah, check that out for sure. So yeah, this is great. Allie just comes forward with the whole office. I mean, it's tough because it's like a little new to be launching this at work, but probably better to be above board than sneaking around at work when they're rubbing butts and they don't care who knows it.
Right. I didn't know police had such strict HR, but I guess it makes sense.
I mean, I think if you're partners, it would make sense that to split them up. Do you think we're going to see more between Daniels and Winston as new partners here?
Yes, I think we'll see another episode out of Daniels 1.
All right, let's get to the guide here. Producer Kelly says, who won the episode? Want to hear Kelly's answer?
Yes, I do want to hear Kelly's answer.
All right, kind of by default, it's got to be Winston. He and Allie announce their love to the world, and Allie and their boss are super into him. If you need more, everyone else loses. Schmidt gets demoted. Jess fails at dress design hard and is letting her students get bit, apparently. Nick is rejected by Reagan, and Cece is going to get all cut up by the inside of her wedding dress.
Yeah, I think the obvious answer here is Winston. He got the girl, even though he's married. It can't be Jess, who gets fired from the job she never had. It can't be Schmidt, who gets fired from the job he did have. It can't be CC, whose wedding dress, who knows, is going to be a disaster. It has to be Winston. It's an easy Winston.
See, I think Winston also loses because Winston's now going to be partnered with Daniels and lose.
Yeah, but
his
that's
partner.
Probably like it's probably better if you're in a relationship not to be partnered with your partner.
I'm gonna say I think Kim wins, the boss, because she's got great lines, but she also gets her kids into school that she hasn't
True.
Been able to.
Okay, I didn't think about Kim, but
and she gets to knock Schmidt down a peg, who she hates.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I probably would have said C. If it's just outcome, I mean, Cece takes a terrible situation and ends up in a great dress. I love Kelly sticking with the mirrors on the inside. I mean, I do think you can cut the mirrors off once you're wearing it inside out. Mm-hmm. In a way that you maybe couldn't if you were wearing right set up. But fair enough. That's never addressed, so at least that we've seen. I think I'm going to say Kim here because I do think everybody walks out with, like, a worse outcome.
Right.
Depending on how you look at it, except for Cece. And Nick gets rejected by Reagan, but he gets a favorable response. It's sort of like not a rejection. He finally gets he embarrasses himself, but he gets the I'd love to come, but I miss you. That's not terrible.
Right. A very rare win for a minor character, but there you go.
Yeah. And then one note before we sign off here, Kato Tomato says, "Hey, Ali and Akiva, I previously wrote in about rewatching New Girl and binging NGOG concurrently. Once BB and Survivor ended, my podcast schedule was wide open. We will take it. I'm currently caught up to 300 feet. So I'm almost with you guys. I love the pod, and I know I'm going to be antsy to wait for episodes to release after that. But honestly, it's so worth it. I wanted to ask if either of you have seen the sitcom Perfect Couples from 2010. Well, first I'll let you answer that. Do you know the show?
Let me look it up. Is it an NBC show? Maybe I saw like one episode. Hold on.
I don't know. She gives a little more information. So I watched it as it aired because I liked the cast and I really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, I must have been an outlier because it only had one 14-episode season. It has three actors from New Girl in it, though. Sam, David Walton, Nick's ex Caroline / waitress from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Mary Elizabeth Ellis, and Nick's ex Angie, Olivia Munn. Maybe you guys... it's streaming on Apple TV, she says. Maybe you guys can put it in the jar and watch a couple episodes if it comes up. Love you guys.
This is a great cast. David Walden, Mary Elizabeth Ellis, Olivia Munn, Carl Bornheimer.
What's it called? Perfect Couples?
Perfect Couples, an NBC. I feel like I've heard of it, maybe one episode.
I will definitely check that out because, as I've said, I'm just watching the
What if it's really good and then you get bummed because it's only 14 episodes and then it gets canceled?
What year was this? This, like, the poster has a very specific feel.
Yeah, 2010.
It almost looks like a horrible bosses a lot. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Like, segments. Anyway. Okay, thank you for that rec. And hopefully, you know, we'll keep putting out regular episodes. So you can, when you're caught up, you're still
Let's try.
There. Let's try. We're always trying. All right, Kiwi, I'm getting you out of here right on time.
Amazing.
So I'm nothing if not respectful. But if you want to send questions, it's in my pinned tweet, though I am now private. So maybe I'll start putting it in the notes for the episode. Or you could DM them to me at Lash Tweets. Follow Kiwi at Kiwi26. Check out Renap this week. The great Dr. Amanda is going to get to the bottom of your burning questions with an AMA from Robin Akiva. You like how I knew that?
I do like it, but you support the other people. You support the people who come on, even if you don't support us, you know?
That's not true at all. I have no respect for anyone who would engage with her or not. But no, Dr. Amanda asked if I had any questions, and I submitted one real question that apparently somebody already submitted, which is kind of incredible because it wasn't
that is
like
incredible.
I didn't think it was the most basic question.
That is funny.
And then I submitted some joke questions that were just for Dr. Amanda's enjoyment. Let me see if there's anything good. Oh, I like this. I don't know if she's gonna ask this, but like, I feel like it would be a great question. What's the maddest you've ever been at each other?
Oh, okay. I'd have to think about it.
Rob would be like, I don't get mad at
No,
Akiva.
I think Rob would have an answer.
No, he would first say that he doesn't get mad, and then he'd be like, okay, maybe one time, and then he would say it.
And
it would
I wouldn't
be totally
have
benign.
An answer. I don't think it was like the time I got mad.
No, I'm just kidding. You, if anything, get mad at yourself in fear that you've made Rob mad.
No, I don't really have.
That's a joke.
I don't think
That's
I have an
joke.
Answer.
All right, Kiwi, next week, season 5, episode 20, Return to Sender. Now, have you watched it? Because we were maybe going to do 2, or can you make a guess?
I have not. I can make a guess. I have not seen it. I have no idea what it's about. What's being returned to sender? I don't think it's a person. Is it the dress? Is it a package? I really don't know. I'll say the wedding dress is being returned to sender.
After all of that, we're going to get to return the dress.
We're return
okay.
The dress.
Let's see. All right, Keeve, enjoy your nap. See you next week.
Thank you.
Bye. See you all. I will be ya.
My plate and my dad. 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 My plate and my dad.